ought to run a lap over that this morning. Amen. If you got what you deserve, every one of us should be in hell this morning. And I'm thankful that the Lord has been so good to me. I mean, my bills are paid. My family's healthy. I've got health. I'm saved and saved forever. Got a good church. Just got so much to be thankful for this morning. Go ahead, Brother Dean. That's right, Brother Dean. Thank the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen, Dean. Amen. Yes, sir. That's right. Amen, Brother Dean. Only He can give it. That's right. Anybody else, real quick, testify? Luke 7 is where we'll be. Luke 7. Anybody else? All right, it's preaching time then. For a little while. Luke chapter 7. Stand with me, if you will. We'll read some verses. Well, I'm glad it's in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Luke 7, verse number 36, down through the end of the chapter. The Bible said, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. When they had nothing to pay, frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose it he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head withal thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. We've been preaching in recent weeks on the subject of worship. We dealt with out of the book of Genesis, the life of Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, and preached on what is biblical worship. First time worship is mentioned in the Bible, is mentioned in that passage. Abraham said, You abide here, y'all can be seated. Abraham said, Y'all abide here, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And we dealt with that first mention of worship in the Word of God on what is biblical worship. We dealt with last Sunday night on the subject of holiness, the standard for worship. Without holiness, Paul said in Hebrews 12, no man's going to see the Lord. I understand that, my friend, God's design in the life and child of God is that, my friend, we live a holy life, and without holiness, we'll never truly be able to worship God. In this text passage, we find, I believe, a beautiful expression of humility in worship, as we've read this morning about this sinner woman coming to Jesus in an act of adoration. And it's true, as we've read these verses, verse 36 through the end of the chapter, that the word worship is not used here. I believe throughout the day today, and we'll finish it up this evening, but I believe in this passage of Scripture there's probably no clearer expression of worship than what we've read to you in your hearing this morning, as I believe she has a lot to teach you in that about the spirit of humility in worshiping Jesus Christ. Now, holiness is the standard for worship. I don't want to say this morning that humility is the spirit of worship. It is just as true this morning that my friend will never worship the Lord apart from a spirit of humility, as it is, my friend, you and I will never worship the Lord apart from a holy life. And holiness is the standard by which, amen, God lets you and I truly worship God. My friend, humility is the spirit by which we get the attention of God and enter in the real realm of worship. Now, the Scriptures say much about the subject of humility. And we studied, I believe there's three truths relevant to our study of worship that we want to deal with this morning in our relationship to God. And you'll find that, my friend, number one, that humility is a spirit. And we consider humility this morning. Look with me back in the book of Proverbs. You can hold your place there in Luke 7. We'll be back there in about 3 hours. Somebody say amen. In Proverbs in chapter number 16. Notice what the writer here says. Proverbs 16:19. The Bible said, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly, and to divide the spoil with the proud. Understand that humility is a spirit. And we consider this thought this morning. Flip over a few pages. Proverbs chapter number 29 and verse number 23. Proverbs 29:23 said, a man's pride, that's the opposite of humility, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Humility is a spirit. It's something, my friend, on the inside of a man, on the inside of a woman. Amen. It's an attitude. It is, my friend, maybe not necessarily something, amen, that stands out in the way you dress or in what you do or where you go. Humility is a spirit. We find this, my friend, in Proverbs 29:23, amen, that a proud man eventually, amen, he thinks he's something, he's got an old proud and haughty spirit, but eventually that man, that woman, that young person, my friend, that proud spirit, amen, is going to bring him down low. It's going to destroy their life. It's going to bring them to nothing. But that man, that woman, that boy, that girl that has, amen, a humble spirit and has a spirit of contrition, my friend, will be honored of the Lord. That's why James said that God resisted the proud and gives what? Grace unto the humble. Humility is a spirit. Look with me in Isaiah chapter number 57. Isaiah 57, hang with me. I promise it all makes sense, or at least to pray it does before we get done today. In Isaiah 57 in verse number 15, the Bible said, for thus saith the high and lofty capital O one, and that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also, and is of a contrite and humble spirit. Revive the spirit of the humble, and revive the heart of the contrite ones again. We understand that humility is a spirit. It's something that God says. It's something, and my friend, listen, God said to Samuel that day, went down to anoint one of Jesse's sons as the next king over Israel. Amen. He said, man looketh on the outward, but God looketh upon the heart. Humility's a spirit. And according to Isaiah 57, the verse we've read, and God, my friend, sees the spirit of humility that flows from the heart. You see, we may look at somebody today, and on the outside, they've got it all nailed down. They've got it all red. I mean, they've cleaned up real good. Amen. But God didn't say that he dwells with that what? That's got it all cleaned up on the outside. He said, my friend, revive, said, amen, the heart, my friend, that is humble. And he's going to revive, my friend, those that are of a contrite and humble spirit. You say, I sure do need revival, preacher. You'll never have revival apart, amen, from humility. Humility is a spirit. With me in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, and we look in verse number 2. The Bible said, for all those things have mine hand made. God speaking, the Lord speaketh, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my words. God said, I've made everything that is, said, and the man that I'm going to look toward, and the man that I'm going to bless and that I'm going to work through is going to be a man that has a contrite spirit. Humility is a spirit. You remember in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter number 5, and in verse number 3, the Bible said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they, amen, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. In other words, God is saying that humility is a spirit. Jerry, you can't necessarily see it with the eye. You may see the results of it with the eye, but you can't see the spirit. God sees the spirit, and God blesses the spirit of humility. Humility is a spirit. Number 2, understand this in our study today of humility and worship and our relationship to God. And humility is not only a spirit, but humility is essential for salvation. Amen. I want to make a statement, a very bold statement. My friend, God has never saved a proud person. You say, how do you know that? Look with me in Psalm 149. Amen. Psalm 149. And listen to what Psalmist David said. Psalm 149. And in verse number 4, the Bible said, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek, the humble, the contrite, the poor. Amen. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Amen. In Matthew 18, in verse number 1 down through verse 4, listen to the teaching of the Lord. Humility is essential for salvation. The Bible said in Matthew 18, verse number 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Is that not a proud question? And you not just imagine these men coming to the Lord and hearing that question, Gerald, it is dripping with pride. They want to know who's going to be the greatest. And in asking that question, there is the hope that the Lord is going to say they're going to be. And notice what the Bible said in verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall what? Humble himself
as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Humility is essential, amen, to salvation. You've got to come to the Lord, amen, as a humble little child in order to be saved. Amen. And when you do that, you lose sight of who's going to be the greatest. You understand? Amen. We're all sinners. We all deserve hell. And I'm no greater than the next person. Amen. Listen, the day I got saved, I had to bow my knee. I had to get over all my pride and who I thought I was and who my daddy was and what my Baptist heritage was and bow my knee in humility, understanding I was just an old sinner. Yeah, man, ain't no proud people ever got saved. That's why, amen, people sit in services and God prick their heart and deal with their heart and convict their heart, and that's why they don't get saved, because they're filled with pride. They have not humbled themselves at friend of the mighty hand of God. Humility's a spirit. Humility's essential for salvation. Let me say this, that and in our walk in relationship to God, humility is required in us by the Lord. God demands that you and I be humble people. Are y'all in the building? Amen. Look in the Old Testament passage of Micah. The Old Testament passage of Micah, I know we're using a lot of scripture really quick here, but it'll be okay. I promise we'll get through it. In Micah chapter 6, listen to this verse. If you're not found your place yet, just listen. The Bible said, "He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee?" Now, if we was to ask that, some Baptists, amen, they'd say, "Lord requires you to dress right. The Lord requires you not to go here. And the Lord requires this and the Lord requires that." And we would have a long, diverse, and varying list of what men think that God requires of them. Are y'all in the building? Let me say something this morning. I don't care what you think the Lord requires of me. I want to know what the Lord said He requires of me. Yeah, man, you might as well say, "Man." And listen, men have come up with all sorts of requirements. Do this, don't do that. Wear this, don't wear that. Amen, go this place, don't go that place. And I'm not belittling standards and those things, my friend and lad of the Word of God. But Mike is about ready to tell you and Ed what the Lord truly requires in us. Yeah, man, everybody okay? Here's what the Lord requires of us. "He has shown thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God." We're living in a generation, listen to me and hear me out. Amen. We're living in a proud and arrogant generation. And friend, not just in the world, but in the walls, Brentonet, of independent, fundamental, King James Bible carrying, sin-hating, devil-stomping churches. Amen. Of people that are filled with pride and arrogance. Amen. We've got our standards and we flip our nose up. Amen. Because we got standards and God is saying, "What I want you to do, what I require in you." Amen. Yes, is a standard and a measure of holiness. But at the end of the day, amen, you can live as holy, amen, as Job's kind. Amen. But if you don't have humility, you're failing in what God requires out of us. Amen. The Lord requires of thee to do justly and to love mercy. Amen. Love mercy. Amen. That's something they'd be preaching in Baptist churches. We ain't got a lot of that. Somebody messes up and it's whack. God said, "What I require you is to do justly and to love mercy." And Brother Dean, if you walk humbly with your God, you won't have a problem with either one. Yeah, man, is one step. Amen. What about James 4:6? Let me give that to you again. Amen. God resisteth the proud. God, my friend, does not receive the proud. Amen. He holds his hand up. Amen. Y'all remember several years ago, amen, now I got picked on about my age in Sunday school, and I still ain't got over it. My feelings are hurt. Amen. The young people, amen, one in particular, one of the hen daughters in particular, amen, hurt my feelings real bad. You can bow your head and pray and repent and get right. But y'all remember several years ago, amen, that little thing come out, talk to the hand because the ear ain't listening. Y'all remember that? That's back in Tim's day growing up. God resisteth the proud. It's talk to the hand because the Lord ain't listening. Proud people do not gain the attention of God. God resisteth the proud, but what's he do? When the humble come around, there is an outpouring, my friend, of the grace of God. You want to get God to move and get the grace of God flowing to your life? Amen. Understand, God has nothing to do with proud people, but he gives grace to the humble. As we study the Word of God, we find, amen, friend, in light of worship. Worship is, amen, humility is the spirit. Humility is essential for salvation. Amen. And humility is required in us by God. It's amazing that when we get saved, then we come and we're broken and we're, amen, friend, humbly realizing who and what we are. Amen. And then over time, we, amen, get this nailed down and that nailed down. And we join the choir and we're doing this and we're doing that. Amen, friend, we lose sight of the humility, amen, that God requires in us as saved folk. Humility is required of God, and especially in the matter, Brother Dean, of worship. Y'all hang with me. I'm going somewhere, nowhere. A little scattered this morning, but I promise we're going back to where we need to be. As one study subject of worship in the Scripture, you'll find that the way in which men worship God at different times expresses the spirit of humility and is essential to worship in the Lord. For instance, go with me to the book of Joshua, chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5. I know this is a lot of teaching this morning, but it's essential to where I want to get to be able to preach today. In Joshua chapter number 5, and notice with me in verse number 14. Amen. You know this is Joshua overlooking Jericho. He's just spanning out it. And according to verse 13, he comes in contact with this. Amen, this one, and Joshua looks at him, he said, "Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" And in verse 14 he said, "Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, "What saith my Lord unto his servant?" This is an Old Testament, amen, we call it a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Joshua realizes he's in the presence of the Lord, what does he do? The Bible said that he fell down on his face to the earth. That is an expression of humility. And what was he doing? Amen. Brother Maurice, the Bible said, and when he fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship. Amen. Humility is expressed in him putting himself down in the dirt, amen, to worship the Lord God of heaven. And notice this with me, if you will. Amen. We find this in Psalm 95 and in verse number 6. Amen. Psalm 95 and in verse number 6. Lord, please help me today. Amen. The Bible said, "Oh, come." Psalm 95, verse 6. "Oh, come, let us" what? "Worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." Now, what do we learn from this verse? We're talking about worship. Amen. What does the psalmist say? Gerald, he said, now, if you're going to come and you're going to worship the Lord, that you need to do so by getting down in the dirt. You bow down, what? Because it is an expression of humility and the spirit of humility. And my friend, God receives it when we worship the Lord. What does he say? He said, now when you come and said, we need the cup, we've got a cup, we're stirred at the cup, and we're coming to what? We're not coming to fellowship. We're not coming, my friend, to say what everybody else is wearing. We're coming, my friend, to worship the Lord. And he said, you got to what? You got to kneel down. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying the spirit of humility puts you and head down in the dirt where we belong. Amen. This is seen, my friend, in other various forms of worship. Amen. Let me just give this to you in Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar makes a big statue. He calls everybody in the land, amen, to amen, see his statue, and the decree comes out. He said, now listen, we're going to play some music. When you hear the sound of music, what did he say? He said, you're to bow down and worship the image that I've made. You see, true worship, my friend, humbles you to what you're worshiping. Amen. Now Nebuchadnezzar said, you hear the music, you bow down, amen, because I want you to worship that God that I have made. And I remind you, the world today, amen, is trying to get you humble of the gods of this world. That, amen, my friend, they want you, amen, to kneel down and submit yourself, amen, to their gods. Amen, you'll humble, what I'm trying to say is, you'll humble yourself to God and worship him, or you'll humble yourself to the God of this world and worship the world. It is impossible to worship without humbling yourself to that which you're worshiping. Amen. I'm not going over your head, am I making sense? Amen. Listen, humility, amen, is essential to worship. You remember in the gospel according to Matthew in chapter 4, when Satan comes to Christ in the wilderness, amen, what did he say in verse number 8? He said, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Amen. Again, the implication is throughout Scripture, whether it's God or a God of the world, or Satan himself, amen, listen, we are being pulled in every direction to worship. And when you worship, you are going to fall down and humble yourself to whatever it is you're worshiping. I hope I'm making sense today. Understand this. In Revelation chapter number 4, I know we're moving quick and we're jumping around, but amen, I promise that I'm really going to try to make sense of all this in a moment. In Revelation 4, and John is now being caught up. He's seeing all the grandeur of heaven. And notice that in Revelation 4, he didn't see nobody, my friend, off in a corner of glory with Mammal. Amen. He didn't see nobody dipping their toe in the, amen, in the sea of crystal. Glory to God. He said, when I got caught up and I began to look around, he said, in smack dab middle heaven, there was one throne, one set on the throne, and there's a bunch of elders gathered around to take a picture of the redeemed of God. Now notice with me in verse number 10, 24 elders fall down before him and sat on the throne. They what? They fall down before him and sit on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. You see, worship in the Old Testament, worship in the day we're in, and worship in eternity future around the throne of God is always manifest in a spirit of humility expressing, amen, a falling down in our rightful place before God. Spirit of humility. Notice with me that, my friend, it's important to understand that real humility not only puts you and I and our flesh down, but it also exalts and raises up God. Why is it that we're to be humble and have the spirit of humility in worshiping God? It's not just, Sister Kathy, about us putting ourselves down where we belong. It's about understanding and exalting and raising up who God is. Why am I to be humble when I worship God. Number one, because our friend, He is our Creator. Here in Revelation 4, look in verse, we done read verse 10, look in verse 11. A man is there falling down and worshiping the Lord. He said, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We read in Psalm 95 and in verse number 6, and when we come to worship the Lord, we're to bow down. David said, let us kneel before our Maker. You see, humility, a man is exercised in worship when you realize that He's the Maker, He's the Creator. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. I'm going to tell you why, that my friend, we don't worship, amen, in a spirit of humility and never experience real old time worship, amen, we're in the generation of self-made men. We think we've made ourselves into what we are. We think we're smart enough, amen, to make us into what we are. And I remind you, He's the Creator. He's the Maker. He's in charge. It's He that hath made us what we are. When you realize that, and without Him, you ain't got enough sense to get out the rig. Without Him, you wouldn't have two pennies to rub together. Amen. Without Him, you'd be a nobody on a road to hell. Thank God He's the Maker. He's the Creator. It's Him that we live and breathe and have our being. It makes us fall down. Amen. And uplift hands. And praise Him for being our Creator. Yeah, man, He's the Creator. I don't care what no evolutionists say. Ain't no such thing as evolution. And these bunch of idiots, my friend, running around and preaching theistic evolution. Amen, that God started it and then it all just evolved. Friend, He made all that He has said. Amen, in six literal 24-hour days. Amen, rested on the seventh. And because He made it all, we're to bow down in humility and worship Him. Amen. We're to worship Him, exalt Him in a spirit of humility, and raise Him up as our Creator. Not only our Creator, but as our Lord. The Bible said, Revelation 4 again, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Humility will be expressed when you fully comprehend He's the Lord and you ain't. We'll tell you why we don't worship the Lord like we ought to. In a spirit of humility, Lord, I've got to hurry. Amen. Is it, my friend, we forget who's really in charge, who's really the Lord. We forget who's really on the throne. Amen. Brother Maurice, that spirit of humility, it is natural with, amen, you understand. My friend, it don't get any bigger than Him. It doesn't get any higher than Him. Amen. He is the Lord and the Lord of all. And because He desires it, amen, and demands it and directs our worship, we ought to fall down in a spirit of humility. Say, I worship You and You are worthy to receive all honor, glory, and power. He's the Lord. You ain't. Amen. By the way, He's the Lord and the pastor ain't. Amen. I'm for pastoral authority and following God's man. Amen, but I'm your pastor. I'm not to be your Lord and I'm not to be your Savior. You already got one of those. And He's doing a mighty good job. It's just my job to point you back to Him. Amen. Turn your head every now and then back on Him. Amen. And get Him. What did Isaiah say? He said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He said, I saw the Lord. I didn't see Buddha and I didn't see Allah. The Lord God of glory was there. He said, when I saw it, there was worship going on around His Lordship. He's the Lord and you ain't. He's the Lord and I ain't. He is the Lord of all, and we ought to bow down and worship Him. It's amazing. We come in, Brother Gerald, many days in a corporate setting like this, and here's about how half of us look this morning. Amen. Picking on all of you. You know why that is? We got our eyes on this problem. We got our eyes on that problem. My friend, we're walking around trying to handle everything. My friend, when you realize He is our Creator, He is our Lord. My friend, He's in charge. He's in control. It doesn't matter what you're going through. You can bow down and give Him a washing that He deserves. Spirit of humility, us putting ourselves where we belong, down in the dirt, and exalting God to the supreme heights. Amen. Above everything as our Lord. He's our Creator. He's our Lord. But the spirit of humility ought to be expressed. Amen. In putting ourselves down. Amen. Falling down and getting in the dirt and lifting Him up as our Redeemer. He's not only my Maker. He's not only my Master and my Lord, but thank God He is my Redeemer. Look with me in Revelation 4. The Bible said the 24 elders fall down before Him and sit on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crown before the throne. Notice these 24 elders are representatives of the blood washed and redeemed saints of God. Their worship is on the basis of humbly realizing it is He that saved them and made them what they are. You study Revelation 5, amen, and what do? They fall down and they worship at the sight of a lamb that has been slain, a lamb that is wounded, a lamb that's got blood pouring out of his side. They realize they don't deserve to be there. They realize they ought to be in hell. They realize they've done nothing. They've never measured up to be worthy. And then they look at the lamb and understand He's the Redeemer. He's the reason they're there. He's the reason they made it to heaven. He's the reason that they're not burning in hell forever. Can I say, if you're saved today, your salvation is as secure right now as it is in Revelation 4 and Revelation 5. It ought to make us fall on our face and say, I'm not worthy, but He is worthy. He is my Redeemer. Spirit of humility, understanding you didn't save yourself. Your standards couldn't save you. Your good works couldn't save you. Joining the church couldn't save you. Getting baptized couldn't save you. Having a good mom and daddy couldn't save you. By the way, we don't believe in this patriarchal salvation garbage going around in our day. You say, well, what is that? That's that man. Doctrine out of hell running around that says if your mom and daddy save you, get in on their salvation. Amen. Every man, every boy and girl is born in sin. Amen. Little Xander there this morning, sitting in church on his papa's knee, is filled with the nature of sin in his veins. It matter, he's got to save papa. Amen. Little Highland's here this morning, got to save daddy and save mama. Amen. The day will come one day. Amen. The Holy Ghost will deal with their heart. They'll have to respond and be saved. Amen. The same way that his mom and daddy was. No good works. It's all about the blood of the Lamb. Realizing I've not saved myself, but He as my Redeemer is worthy of my worship. Amen. God forbid we should forget. Amen. Evidently it's possible. I don't suppose to ever have. I don't ever want to. Peter said it's possible that some could forget and they've been purged from their own sin. And they forget it was the Lord that saved them. It was the Lord that made the difference in them. Hey, friend, do you not realize where you would be today or I would be today had it not been for the Redeemer coming by our way? We ought to be in the world. We ought to be, amen, getting up this morning with a hangover, amen, in a gutter somewhere. Thank God He saved us and He changed us. Amen, we ought to realize it's Him that's our Redeemer. I'm saved today not because of me, but because of Him. Now what does that do? Brother Him, that makes me fall down. Say, oh Lord, I bless Your name. Amen. Why is it we come in so dragging our tracks out? You're only saved and saved forever. Old Luther Spivey said, I really get to go. Amen. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying I really get to go. Heaven, my friends, as sure as I'm standing here today. Amen. Because Jesus came by my way. And Jesus saved my life. He's my Redeemer. I owe it to Him to exalt Him as the one that has saved my soul from sin and hell. Amen. Y'all understanding what I'm saying? I mean, from the Old Testament clear through the book of Revelation. Worship is saved and expressed in a spirit of humility by getting down. Amen. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you really worshiped? Everybody okay? Worship ain't, my friend, us getting loud. It ain't us running a lap. Worship ain't you jumping three pews and landing in somebody's lap. Worship is you and me getting down in the dirt that God brought us out of. All the Bible truths about humility and worship, I believe, is exemplified in the story that is before us in Luke 7, verse 36 through 50. This woman, listen, this morning, I'm closing down and I'll give you the rest, the main part of the message tonight. But understand this, this woman did not come to hear a sermon. Nor did she come to make a request. Nor did she come to fellowship with other people. Nor did she come to meet the host. Nor did she come herself to be refreshed. She came with one goal and one goal only, amen. Amen. She did not come because it was the popular thing to do. Nor did she come, my friend, withholding anything. She came to worship in the spirit of humility that put her in the dirt, made her worship real. I submit to you, and my friend, the verses we've read, the word worship ain't used yet. But in light of the word of God and what it says about getting down in the dirt at the feet of the Lord where we belong, Him being Creator, Him being Lord, Him being Redeemer, at this woman on that day worshiped the Lord in the spirit of humility. It made her worship real to her. It made her worship real to everybody else in the house. And it made her worship real, most importantly, to the Lord God that she was praising. She didn't come in, I'm going to get something from God. She came in with the mentality, I'm going to give something to God. And I say that's why a lot of times we come in and we never truly worship God. We're so filled with pride and angry. Oh, we wouldn't dare, but Tony, say it, but it's on the inside and God sees it. God, you owe me something. God, I got this standard and that standard. Amen. You study this passage of Scripture. I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't even know if I'm going to preach it this morning. Amen. Do you understand? This woman came as a sinner. She was a sinner. Everybody that saw her knew she was a sinner. And the Lord, when He spoke about her, said, this woman hath many sins. She didn't come in with no standards that God was supposed to honor. Good quiet crowd we got. I believe I'm right about this. Our Baptist movement, my friend, we act like because we got something nailed down, God owes us something. God don't owe you anything. Amen. All we are, Jerry, is sinners. All we have are many sins. You can dress the outside up all you want. On the inside, my friend, we're sinners who deserve of being hell. And this woman knew what she was. This woman got to the place, my friend, where it became about getting down in the dirt and making much of the Lord. And Jesus said, you bunch of Pharisees, you've invited me to come in and you're trying to impress me with everything you do and you don't do. He said, you didn't even offer me a basin of water to wash my feet. And this old sinner who ain't got it all nailed down just fell down at my feet and washed my feet with her tears. He said, you didn't have no ointment to anoint my hand with oil. This woman has brought in this ointment, this valuable thing she saved up for her whole life, and she's anointing my feet. What are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying the Lord is not impressed with your standards. He is impressed with the spirit of humility. You say, I'm just going to go live anywhere. That ain't what I'm preaching. Humble people will nail down some standards. When they get down at the feet of the Lord and they realize what they are, I'll show you sooner or later you get a word from God and you get up and you're able to go out and live the way God wants you to live. But you listen to me good and well, you can have every standard in the book and still not have humility. It's what the Lord said to the Pharisees. But Jerry, he said, you whited sepulchers full of dead men's bones. Amen. He said, you'll cross land and sea. Go find somebody and make them just like you are. The Lord said, when you get done with them, there'll be a twofold more child of hell than yourself. Bunch of standards, but empty on the inside. Amen. What am I saying? I'm saying, friend, it takes getting down in the dirt to really, truly worship God. Lord, I'm a sinner. And I'm doing the best I can to live the way you want me to live. But Lord, I still know at the end of the day what I am. That old Pharisee, and I'm not preaching, I'll give it all to you tonight. That old Pharisee said, if the Lord really knew, ain't that pride? That's what some people say about me when I deal with people who are sinner people who's messed up. If he only knew what they were. Let me tell you something. Jesus knew everything about her. And he knew more than that crowd knew about her. And he still received her worship. Why? Not because she had it all nailed down, but because she came in a spirit of humility. Everybody okay? See, the Pharisee says, I deserve the Lord to be in my presence. The sinner in humility says, I don't deserve to be here. Gets down in the dirt, sheds her tears, worships the Lord, and gives Him what he deserves. Worship ain't about what you deserve. Worship's about what he deserves. The humility, the spirit of worship. No humility, no worship. I'm serious. I'm serious. Sister Candy, come on if you will, please. I'm dead serious. When's the last time you truly worshiped the Lord? Let me tell you what the Pharisee missed out on, because he was so worried about her mess ups. She got to worship him and he didn't. We'll tell you why we don't have humility and worship. We're looking at everybody else's faults and failures and their sins. Can I remind you, let me get up here where everybody can see me. Oh, Ron Garris, you say, look at me with your little beady eyeballs. Don't bat an eye. Look up in here. Reason some of you ain't worshiping in a long time, you're too worried about all the many sins everybody else has. Amen. Let me tell you something. They got a Lord. They got a Savior. They got a Creator. And God has given them a pastor. You ain't got to worry about it. You're worrying about it and focusing in on it makes you no better than the Pharisee of the house that missed out on an opportunity to take his place in the dirt with an old harlot woman and experience real true worship. Are we all okay? Don't you go out of here and say, well, he said I can live any old way I want to live. I told the young people this morning, you do wrong, I'll bust your chops. But I'm just going to tell you, I don't think it's the lack of standards that are killing us, it's the pride that's killing us. The pride that's in people that have standards and the pride that's in people that don't. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, till we get humble and get down in the dirt and realize I belong here. I was made out of this. And really, truly worship the Lord. Stand with me in a spirit of humility. We're missing out, church. We're missing out because of the spirit of humility is absent. Lord, we love you. Help us now. Bless the invitation, Lord. God, I pray that you would really burn this in our heart. Lord, you burned it in my heart. Lord, I know, Lord, in growing up in this thing, Lord, we got to the place where oftentimes we think more of ourselves than we ought to think. Lord, we think less of others in light of our own mentality and own mindset about ourselves. Lord, really at the end of the day, all that matters is you are Creator, you are Lord, and you are Redeemer. Lord, we owe everything we are to you. Help us, Lord, as Joshua did, to fall down upon our face to the earth. Help us to fulfill what David invited us to do in coming and bowing down and worshiping our God and kneeling before our Maker. Help us, Lord, in this hour to express what we'll express throughout all eternity. Lord, falling down upon our face and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ upon His throne. Help us, Lord, to follow the example of this great sinner woman. Getting down at the feet of the Lord, worshiping God. Lord, you know today where we are. God, on the outside, men and women may look at us and say, there goes some kind of Christian. God, you see our spirit. God, you see our heart. God, I pray that it would be humble before you. Help us to be of a contrite heart. Help us not to be proud or rebellious, but to be humbled before the mighty hand of God. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Several that have come to pray, no one's looking around. Several on the altar this morning. Several praying in their pew. Where are you at this morning? Please, friend, please humble yourself.